Let's pray. God, I thank you that we get a chance to worship you today. I pray that we'd continue. We'd continue to open up our hearts to you in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dave was already telling us a little bit about Palm Sunday, and the kids are all here with palm branches. What are we celebrating? So Jesus, just shortly before the crowd turned on him and wanted him crucified, just days before that, people had palm branches and were so excited to see him as he came into Jerusalem. And so public opinion can turn really fast. Obviously, we'll hear more about his story, Jesus' story, next week. But right in the moment of what we call Palm Sunday now, there was a lot of talk about Jesus. A lot of people were excited. Some people were very negative and plotting against him. But there was one group of people in the temple who seemed to really get Jesus' identity. If you look at the story, it's in Matthew 21. There's one group who says more accurately than anybody else who Jesus is. And that group is kids. There's a group of children singing praise to Jesus. And these bullies try to stop them. And Jesus stops the bullies, basically, and lifts up those kids. So something you hear over and over if you're reading the Gospels is Jesus say, kids, like these kids right here in these first three rows, kids have special insight about me. Kids can know me better than the average adult if they reach out to me. So you kids are very special to us today. And so we actually want to learn from you. And so I've invited one of you, I've invited Robin, to come on up to stage with us. So let's give a big warm welcome. Thank you. Robin, thank you for joining us today. So, Robin, we were talking about Jesus a little bit a week or so ago, and just right off the bat, why do you care about Jesus? Why is he important to you?
Because he knew that even when he was scared to crucify himself, he knew that if he didn't, we wouldn't be free to praise him and his Father whenever we really needed to. And he didn't have to.
Big thoughts there, if you guys caught that. That Jesus chose to be crucified for us. And why did he choose to be crucified? Most of us would say, because I made so many mistakes or something. He chose to be crucified for us because that way we could worship him when we needed to. And it wasn't easy for him. Awesome, Robin. We're glad we're talking to you already. That's good. So, Robin, tell me about a time when you needed Jesus.
One time, I was at Science City, and I was going to ride the Sky Bike, and I was...
Tell us about what the Sky Bike is.
The Sky Bike is where you get strapped in on this bike, and there's a net under this line, and you ride out on the line, and then you touch this thing at the end, and then you come back, and it's really high off of the floor. And I was scared, but I knew that God wouldn't let me fall.
Awesome. God wouldn't let you fall, yeah. Very good. And so you told me the other day, so you prayed as you're getting ready to go on that ride, and you knew God wouldn't let you fall. So where did you learn that idea that you could hold on to Jesus?
My parents are a big fan of God, and they
yeah, so Robbie and Corin taught you a lot about God. Very awesome. Okay, how tell me about a time when you were in children's church with Ray and Tracy and something really special hit home with you.
They played this song. It was called This Hope that they just sang, and it really gave me hope so that when I didn't feel like anything can help me, I could just look to God and he could help me.
Awesome. Yeah, really good. So last question for you, because I know Ray and Tracy have got something special for the kids to go down to next. But last question for you. We have a whole lot of adults in the room. And we're about to read a verse where Jesus says, kids have an easier time getting insights about me. So I feel like you could probably teach all of us adults. So what's something you would tell us adults about God?
When you feel really, really somewhere that you don't have any hope and you need some and you need help from God, you can just pray and he can help you any way he can.
Awesome, Robin. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Great job.
So I'm going to excuse the kids to go with Ray and Tracy down to Children's Church. Awesome to see
Robin
and
Robbie.
By the way,
if you look at the adults who are walking out with these folks, they love kids, and they do a fabulous job. We appreciate them.
It wasn't just us. It was Ray and Tracy and all the other adults who've helped us raise her like that. It wasn't just us.
Thank you.
Very awesome to get to talk to Robin. We probably could wrap things up.
Right.
Bob and I are prideful enough not to, I guess. So we'll need to repent to you. But Bob, we're talking about kids today. Why is it important to be childlike?
Well, it's really good for us to look, and we're going to ask you all to think deeply today about your own life. It is one thing to look at Robin and to say, wasn't that sweet, and isn't that cute, and doesn't she have a wonderful family? And by the way, all of those things are true. I'm so thankful for Robbie and Corin and their kids. It's a great deal. But we need to examine our own lives and to realize that what she just said is true, not just cute, but it's true. When you need God, which we all do, you can turn to him. Jesus Christ provided us the solution for our problems. This Friday, when we look at the Good Friday and we think about the cross, that is the solution for our problem. God believes we have a real problem. And that real problem is we are distant from him. And so he came to us and he suffered what all of us ought to experience, and that is the agony and torment of judgment for sin. And yet when we turn to him, he is able to say to us, and I prayed with a man earlier today, I prayed this wonderful passage from 1 John, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That can be our experience. And Robin, in her wonderful, simple way, just preached that to us. And so we as adults ought not just sit back and say, well, wasn't that sweet and wasn't that cute and weren't those kids nice? We need to say, God, that's for me. I need to hear it and receive it. Okay?
Okay. You know, something I noticed right away with Robin that maybe a lot of you guys didn't notice is Robin didn't hold the mic. She didn't hold the mic like that. Every time we have someone come up and speak, and you guys might start noticing this now, every time I have someone come up and speak, big piece of advice I give them, is you got to hold the mic right here. You can't hold it out like this. But most adults are a lot of adults honestly don't feel very comfortable getting in front of people. They might feel, oh, I'm a humble person because I don't just think I'm going to be great. But what they actually have is maybe they're fearful about public speaking. Robin, when I came and spoke with Robin and I said, Robin, you need to really hold the mic really close. It's really important. I didn't even tell her that again. I just told her it once last Sunday. As soon as she got here, Sunday morning, she was holding it right here in first service. And then it started to drift at one point and she pulled it back. Like, obviously in her mind, she remembered, Jake said to do this. I need to do it. But what did that show? It showed that Robin had the humbleness and the trust to say, I'm going to do what Jake told me to do. And kids are like that a lot more naturally than adults. It's not that the adults that come up on stage are bad people, but honestly, they're not as humble as Robin is. And so Robin's, imagine if you were Jesus and you're telling somebody, this is really important to do. If you tell that to a kid, I bet the kids like Robin is a lot more likely to respond to it and to hold on to it. But the adults a lot more likely to think about, well, I got to do this and I got to say that and I got to do this and this and is my outfit okay and everything else? And so the Mike starts to drift. You know? So a lot of us think we're humble because we have a low self-esteem about ourselves. And there's a difference. Robin just got up in front of hundreds of adults and spoke to us. I mean, that was bold. She doesn't have a low self-esteem, but she was very humble because she actually thought that I knew best. I mean, I know that sounds silly. I even feel weird saying that I know best. But Robin believes it. You know, like I could see that she believes it because of her actions. And most of us don't treat anybody else like that, like they actually know better than us. So probably already making you feel like, well, I'm not very humble, but here's some more to do that same thing. So if you want to get out your notepad, we're going to do a little test, a little sermon notepad in front of you of are you humble or are you not? I'm going to have three humbleness tests for you. And if you want to reflect on it later too, because you might have some more insight as you go through your week. First test, are you humble or are you prideful? Guy in the top left is complaining. Girl in the bottom right is got gratitude, thankful. So think about your last week, and have more complaints come out of your mouth or has more genuine gratitude come out of your mouth? So I heard some groans. So we were like, uh-oh. Well, you don't know how traffic was, or you don't know how bad my work is. You might say, oh, people at my work are so terrible. They gossip all the time. Like my boss once, he did, and then they just start gossiping too. People like to complain. If you've seen any of the footage coming out of Syria this week, like, you know that we really don't have anything to complain about. So when we complain, what are we saying, though? We're saying, I deserve better. When we say, I deserve better, I mean, that's basically saying I'm special. And if you go around saying I'm special, that's kind of the heart of pride. So every time you complain, realize maybe somebody did something wrong. But if you're complaining about it, you're probably also coming from an attitude of I deserve better. Maybe you do deserve better. You know, if you're dating some guy and he always talks bad to you, like maybe you do deserve better. Maybe you should drop him and move on to some guy that respects you, you know. But probably shouldn't complain about it. Probably should take some action, you know. And so if you're complaining, you're basically saying, like, I deserve better. And that's not a good spot to be at. But if you have gratitude right away, what do you have to have gratitude? No one ever said thank you to themselves, or at least hopefully not. To say thank you, you have to be paying attention to what someone else is doing and appreciate it. So that's kind of the definition of humility, is that I've got my eyes open to other people and to their needs. And I'm paying attention, like, it was so nice when Darren offered to give that person a ride. It was so nice when Katie met with that person to help them get a job. It was so kind of this person to go above and beyond for Chris to help that guy with his yard. When you think about that way, and you're thinking about, oh, you're thinking about that person and about their schedule and about how they did more than they had to do, that's the opposite of pride. So this makes a lot of sense, but most of us complain a lot more, myself included, than we give thanks. So, okay, got some pride. It's going to maybe get worse, too. So this is like next one. We've got kids playing in a wheelbarrow, and we've got, like, some crazy power women that have gotten their hair done really well. So here's what I imagine happened in the top left scenario, is maybe this little boy wanted to play Frisbee, and these two little girls were like, nope, we want to hang out in this wheelbarrow. And the boy was humble enough to say, like, well, we don't have to do what I want to do. And now they're all having fun. I bet those three ladies are staged and then somebody just did their hair. But if it was real life, they would be fighting over something they want for themselves. My client deserves this, or I deserve a raise, or I'm right about this issue. They're not saying like, oh yeah, let's do what you want to do. That's definitely no one just said that. It is looking like that. So here's my question for you, the kind of test, is when you go places, when you're at your house or your home, wherever you live, when you're at work, when you're around other people, do people look more like the top left or do people look more like the bottom right? Like, are you an influencer that makes people have more peace and more joy? Or are you, like, stirring the pot of conflict and fight and sadness? A lot of us think, like, oh, man, I got to get out of this place I'm living because there's so much drama there. And then they go live somewhere else, and it's like, oh, man, this place has so much drama. And it's like the only connection is... It's like that you were at both places. So maybe you do need to move out, maybe, okay? But I'm just saying maybe also there's some pride to look at. Because when we're not willing to let other people have their way, then, and when we say, I have to get my way, it leads to a lot of what's going on in the bottom right, okay? So
You turn, just a little deal. Would I rather be right or loving? Okay?
Yep.
And so your humble kids are loving, and your mean women, they're right. All right?
Yeah. And occasionally you do need to stand up to someone and say you're wrong. But that's pretty rare. That shouldn't probably be happening every day. If it's happening every day, like, you need to make some new friends or whatever, you know, like. And honestly, if you're standing up to people the way Jesus wants you to stand up to them, don't worry. Like, they'll either change or not want to hang out with you anymore. I mean, that's the way Jesus has us operate, okay? So most of the time, though, it doesn't matter where the restaurant is, or it doesn't matter what we watch on TV, or it doesn't matter, like, whatever the little bickering is about, okay? Okay, last thing, because I'm eating up way too much time here. So one side, we got a king looking down, and I'm picturing that he's giving somebody advice, and he's not happy. And yeah, and then you got in the bottom right, a kid eating a bowl of vegetables. Obviously, he's following somebody's advice. Like, I don't think he just came up with that on his own. Like, I'm going to eat these vegetables. So last one, this one hits really home heavy with me. I think I need to repent. So this is the last one. In the last week, have you given more advice or have you followed more advice? That's, yeah, yikes, exactly. Here's the tip. Here's a pro tip that I need to believe as much as you guys. Advice, good advice is really not that hard to figure out. Like 90% of what people need to do is not hard to figure out. So when you're just dying to tell somebody like, hey, you really need to eat vegetables to be healthier, you really need to go to more meetings, or you really need to do this, odds are they probably could figure that out. If they were really wanting to change, they just have to ask somebody, and any, you know, Joe Smith on the street could probably tell them, yeah, if you eat this way, that'd be healthier. Or if you spoke to your wife nicer, your marriage would be better or something. You know, like, most people don't really need the information of advice, but we love to go around telling everybody, like, do this, do this, do this, do this. Let me just solve everybody's problems, and I get to have fun being king of advice, and I don't really need to follow any myself, though, because I kind of have things figured out. Like, I don't know if you guys have realized this yet. I'm trying to be polite, but I know more than all of you, so you need to listen to my advice. I mean, basically, when we give advice, in that moment, we're saying, like, I have my stuff together enough. I'm going to help you because you're so much more messed up. That's not a good spot to be at. And most of us, imagine if the next week, if you didn't give anybody advice, do you think someone's going to come to you and be like, man, my life's a wreck. You stopped giving me advice and things fell apart, you know? it all hit the fan when you stopped giving me advice. But what if this next week you didn't give any advice, but what if you tried to do some other people's advice? I bet there's some people in your life who never eat vegetables, but if you ask them, like, what should I eat more of, they might tell you, eat more vegetables. So guess what? If you follow their advice, you'll actually be a healthier person. Like, there's some terrible people out there who tell you, like, oh, you should really be cheating on your wife or something. I mean, there's crazy people out there. Obviously, don't listen to every bad advice that you get. But wouldn't you be a better person this week if you did one piece of advice that you heard rather than saying 100 pieces of advice? But again, that's pride and humility. Sometimes the right thing to do is to give advice. But I bet Jesus would be happy with us if we followed more advice than we gave. Okay, so I'm going to read a verse. This is from John, or from Luke chapter 10. Same passage we've been reading. Jesus has been talking to adults, and the adults aren't getting it. And instead of getting frustrated, Jesus gets happy. It's kind of strange. It says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That, if you are ever frustrated with people, Jesus' strategy was, I'm going to think about God in the midst of people being blockheads. And when he thinks about God, he says, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you're pleased to do. Jesus gets all excited, gets a big smile on his face. He just had a whole bunch of adults lead a successful giant missionary project, and they were driving out demons and doing all sorts of cool stuff. And what is Jesus excited about? Jesus is excited that God is the type of God who bends down and talks to kids, who lets kids in on the secret and leaves the really smart, educated adults in the dark. And so if you want more God in your life, you don't have to go to seminary. If you want more God in your life, you probably already know what you need to do. You just have to be humble enough to do it, humble enough to be open to God. So, Bob, if someone's here today and they're like, okay, Jake's beat me over the head, and I know I'm prideful, I want to be more humble, what do they do about that?
We have just a couple of things we want to look at that talk about humility. And the first one is, if you want to really learn humility, is to desire it. And, you know, I've been preaching for a long time, and one of the things I know is that preaching is very inefficient. We hear a lot of things, and we evaluate them. We go home, and we maybe talk about them a couple of minutes during lunch, and then we promptly forget them. And today, a subject of humility could be, oh, weren't those kids cute? And didn't Jake have some really good illustrations? Wasn't that neat? And then we walk out, and we never think about our own humility. I've been working on this sermon since Monday. Jake and I, we talked about it on Monday, and I've even read a book on the topic and all of that stuff. And one of the things I realized was I had made no choices to really pursue humility in my life. That came to me on Tuesday. I thought, well, I better get busy. I mean, if I'm going to preach this thing, I need to try to do what I'm talking about. So it's one thing for us to talk about humility. It's one thing for us to have beautiful children illustrate it. It's a completely other thing for us to choose that we are going to be humble. And so why would we even think about choosing to be humble? Because the greatest being who ever walked the face of the earth was also the most humble being who walked the face of the earth. And so Jesus said to people who followed him, I am among you as one who serves. I am someone who has come to give his life as a ransom for many. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he took off his outer garment, kind of stripped down to servant clothes, got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, now, to those people, you know, you call me teacher and Lord. Well, if I'm your teacher and Lord, you need to do the same thing I did. Now, that doesn't mean we go around washing people's feet, all right? But it means that we humble ourselves to take that role of being a servant. When the Apostle Paul talked about Jesus, he said, this is Philippians chapter 2, he said he didn't grab hold, the word clutch, he didn't grab hold of his rights of being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he emptied himself. He opened up his hands. He emptied himself, and he became a servant, all the way a servant to death. You know, I hear a lot of this, and I feel this too. I really don't like being disrespected, okay? And I know there's a crowd of men and women here who that word disrespect is not a good word, okay? When Jesus was disrespected, he didn't cling on to his measure of respect that he ought to have, but he opened himself up and he entered into a role of servanthood for us. That's humility. And so when we get disrespected, that's the challenge of us saying, man, how am I going to deal with the humility part of my life? You know, and I've been around some guys who they get disrespected, and usually when that happens, somebody went to the hospital, they went back to jail. And I've had guys talk to me about the real conflict of, man, I just wanted to smash this guy, and so on, okay? I don't know what you ladies do, but that's what the guys talk about, all right? My statement to them is the Holy Spirit in you is not letting you do that. The Holy Spirit in you is saying there's another way, and there's real conflict. It's not an easy thing because it's a fight. It's a tug of war on the inside. It's not simple. But when you win that victory, you're taking a step in the direction of Jesus' humility. Fair enough? And so for those of us who want to be like the mad women that Jake had up there, who want to assert our own right, and I'm right and you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you know how that goes? Those of us who want to do that, we need to step back and say, okay, Lord, I desire today to learn how to live a humble life. I desire that. All right? I want that. Make that something conscious. Don't walk out of here and say, nice sermon, good deal, guys. You got us out on time. We got to go eat. Good deal. Fine. Don't do that. Look at your life and say, God, how can I today really embrace the kind of humility that Jesus had? What steps do I take? All right? Now, everything else comes right out of that. Once you do that, then start thinking about God's greatness. That'll help you a whole lot when you think about who God is. So Jake this week told me, he said he took a walk with the Lord. And while he took a walk with the Lord, his deal was to hear what God had to say. I would challenge you, go take a walk with the Lord. Just walk out and just take a walk with the Lord. And say, God, what do you think about me? Wow. Just hear that. God, what do you think about me? What do you feel about me? Try it out. Hear what he has to say. And he may say something pretty good. He may say, man, you're my child. I love you profoundly. You are the best. You know, what will happen is as you walk with God and you hear from him, he will become bigger and bigger in your eyes. All right? I have been reading the book of Isaiah since January. And over and over and over and over again, God says, if I'm trusting anybody other than him, I'm trusting the wrong thing. And there are passages in Isaiah that are just, God is enormous. And so when you read your Bible, God, show me what you're like. Show me your greatness. When you see his greatness, you'll see your smallness. And don't be like I've been in the past, and that is read the Bible so you know more than other people, because that's just another step in the world of pride, okay? Number three is think about your complete dependence on God. You hear Robin? Robin said, I was up there on that little thing down at Science City, and I was scared to death, and I said, Jesus, come and help me. Think about your dependence on God. You know what happens to us a lot is we get a measure of success in our life, and then we look at God and we say, hey, God, I got this thing. Now, we never tell him that. We just act like it. So we get a couple of weeks sober. We get a couple of months sober. We get maybe a year sober. Or we get something happening good in our life, and we think, hey, I don't need to work those steps anymore. I don't need to go to meetings anymore. I don't need my sponsor anymore. I got this thing. Hey, I got it. God, I don't need you either. I'm off on my own. And I've got friends who say, if you do that, pal, you're going to go get loaded, all right? And whatever that looks like for us. I was riding around with a guy this past week who was telling me he needed to stay close to God. And I said, guess what? So do I. There's a Bible verse which says, Jesus said this, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. You ready for this? For apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. And so my friend who's trying to stay sober, he knows apart from Jesus, he can do nothing. But I have to say to me, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing too. We need him. When we confess our dependence upon God, when we hit that point, step one, when we hit that point of saying, God, I am broken, I need you, I am never going to be in any other place in my life except for needing you, I will never go beyond a step of needing you, we're in a good place to start learning humility. All right? Last point, and that is pray. And really, all of this stuff can be wound up in prayer. When you're connected to God, God is going to reveal himself to you. I've had a couple of times where God just opened the door and I got a little tiny glimpse of who he was. I will guarantee you, when you see God for who God is, you can do nothing but say, you're God and I certainly am not. When you feel his presence, you just got to fall on your knees and say, God, you're holy and you're it. So I just lay those for you. And Jake, why don't you finish this up?
Yeah. So don't miss out on those steps that Bob was giving you. You know, earlier I said, why don't you guys write some of this down? And a lot of you grabbed pens, which was encouraging to me. But some of you are like, nah, I don't need to. And I know when we go out of this place, a lot of you are going to think like, oh, yeah, humility is great. But, I don't need to. If you don't choose to start working towards humility, like Bob said, then you're not going to become humble. You can't say like, oh, man, I want to run 20 miles. That'd be nice. But never put on any running shoes. Never get outside and move around. We talked today about kids quite a bit. Think about a kid that is in your own life that you get to spend some time with. And think about, maybe this week, God could teach me about humility from them. And if you're like, Jake, I'm not blessed enough to have any kids anywhere close to me, well, as long as there's not some legal reason for that, like, you could work in the kids area here, you know, and, you know, talk to somebody about that too, you know. So be thinking this week about humility, about how can I be the type of person that gets new insights about God? How can I be the type of person that when Jesus says something to me, it sticks with me through all the noise? Robin shared some really powerful stuff. Do you want what Robin had? Where she said, I was really, really scared, but then I knew it was going to be okay. I don't know if she shared it this service or another time when I was talking to her. She talked about being in a really dark spot. She didn't know she had any hope. And then, because of that song, she knew she could find hope in God. Don't you want that? Of like, man, I want to be able to conquer fear. I want to be able to conquer despair. But you also notice with Robin, she showed up to Children's Church. They played a song that we all heard today. But Robin's takeaway was, that's true, so I don't have to be afraid. That's true, so I can hope. It wasn't a burning bush. She was humble enough to say, like, that's a song about Jesus. I'm here, and Ray and Tracy are teaching me, and I believe it. And so because she believed it, then that God was able to carry her through that. I want to pray a blessing over you guys, a benediction, and that we can have that sort of heart. But you get to decide whether you want to open up to that heart or not. So let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would open up our hearts, make us more like children. I pray this week you would give us a new insight about you. Amen. Go in peace.